News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
We're returning to the situation in the Middle East with reports overnight that Israel has stepped up its strikes in Tehran and in Bahrain. With us is Nicholas Hopton, who is former UK ambassador to Iran and non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. Nicholas, I was reading your analysis in respect of what would happen likely with the new regime, with the regime change in Iran. And you were pointing out that Iran is not a singular monolithic bureaucratic structure, but more like a multi-headed hydra. Does that mean that it doesn't matter that much if what Donald Trump is saying is true, that most of the pre-existing regime are now dead?
Good morning, Anton. I think Donald Trump seems to have underestimated the nature of the Iranian power structure. And as you say, it's Hydra-headed diversification of power. Yes, they have the supreme leader under the constitution who sits on top of all the power systems, military, civilian and other. And the U.S. killed the supreme leader Ali Khamenei on Saturday, but that does not mean that the regime crumbles. It's not a Venezuela-type structure where you can take out the top guy and then take over the country. And we've already seen in the days since the killing of the supreme leader that the system, the regime, has reacted by putting in place a committee of three under the Article 111 of the Constitution, as it's prefigured. And those people are responsible for selecting, along with what's called the Assembly of Experts, a body of experts appointed by the regime, to choose the next supreme leader. And they're already, apparently, and these are reports unsubstantiated, maybe focusing on the son of Ali Khamenei, Mojtaba Khamenei, who's 56, not really of the stature one might expect to run the country, but he was being built up for that role by his father. And perhaps he is being thought of as the next supreme leader and maybe named including in the coming days.
Now, whoever it is that ends up being supreme leader, what situation are they inheriting militarily? Because a lot of analysis suggests that it was a strategic mistake for Iran to have attacked so many neighboring states in retaliation.
Yes, I think the policy pursued over the last decades, a policy of forward defense, as the Iranians would characterize it, using proxy forces in neighboring countries and further afield, sponsoring terrorism, including in the United Kingdom and the US, that policy is over. That effectively came to an end with the decapitation of Hezbollah and the destruction of Hamas, the fall of the Assad regime in Syria in the last couple of years. So following the 7 October atrocities by Hezbollah. So this policy is over and clearly has put the Iranian regime in a terrible place. It's isolated internationally. It's heavily sanctioned. It has very few allies. And the allies it has are countries such as Russia, who are isolated themselves and aren't in a position really to help Iran at this time. And they're on the wrong side of Donald Trump's wrath. And he has clearly decided he is now, along with Benjamin Netanyahu, decided to change the regime in Iran and try and put in place something better. Now, the first bit, to an extent, I suppose he could say he's already changed the regime because the architect of that forward defense policy, Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader, is gone. But if he chooses not to declare victory at this stage and presses on with a full-scale war on Iran, which seems to be the present course of action, it's far from clear how a more Western-friendly, more democratic, a better government for the Iranian people, how that will be put in place.
What does this mean then for the likelihood of the conflict spreading across the region?
I think it already is spreading, Anton. It's, as you've seen, the Gulf countries have been heavily attacked by Iranian missiles and drones, and they are feeling the brunt of this. But also, The UK base in Akrotiri in Cyprus has been attacked. And then we're seeing the war also spreading with Israel attacking Hezbollah again in Lebanon. So I think the risks of this becoming a much bigger conflict are high. And what is of concern, I think, particularly to European countries who want to see a different kind of government in Iran and a better future for the Iranian people, they want to see the end of any nuclear threat from Iran. But the present course of action we're seeing through this war risks destabilizing not only the region, but the global economy as well, and leaving devastation that will last for years.
And what's your analysis of America's motivation? Because there has been, obviously, Marco Rubio said that effectively they were following Israel's lead into this. Israel's motivation is fairly easy to infer. The US, is this about regime change or is this about a black market for oil?
Well, it's a fair question because at different times we've heard different things from the US leadership, including from the president himself. I mean, as recently as the end of last week, President Trump was talking about the importance of pursuing a deal through negotiations. And you'll recall that just last Thursday, they had the last round of negotiations between the U.S. Negotiators, Witkoff and Kushner, with the Iranian foreign minister in Geneva. And those negotiations were inconclusive, but they pointed by both sides talking about meeting again the following week, and there were some areas where they were starting to converge their positions. That was all cut off with the attacks by the US and Israel over the weekend. And it's now not very clear what President Trump's position is, because he has moved from, obviously, from looking for a deal to then calling for the Iranian people to rise up, seize control of their country. And the messages coming out of the White House seem to be a mixture of pointing towards supporting regime change, or accepting that it might be still the regime in place, but a very different kind of Islamic Republic. I think this is part of the reason, it's not the whole reason, but it's the lack of clarity about what the end game is or what the plan is to finish this this conflict. Coming from the White House, the lack of leadership there accounts partly for the position being taken by European leaders, which is ambiguous, to say the least, in their support for the US-Israeli attacks.
In relation to those, that ambiguous position, Donald Trump has been particularly critical of Spain, saying that he is going to, America will break off trade with Spain because of them not allowing America to use bases, and particularly disparaging of the UK Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, saying that this is not Winston Churchill we are dealing with here. Is that the usual hyperbole, or does that point to a real rift in the relationship?
Well, I think we're all pretty used now to hyperbole from the US president, the current US president, uncharacteristic for the most powerful office in the world, of course, particularly when used to describe in such disparaging terms close, long-term historical allies of the United States, with whom we share joint security and economic and social cultural ties, which are incredibly profound, and that obviously applies to Ireland as well. And I think the but what he's saying now does seem to be taking it to another level. It's very personal. It's very personal, and I don't think it helps. It's not, as we all know, if you shout at people and insult them, you're less likely actually to convince them to come to your point of view. And it must also be said, you know, the French President Macron is also taking a very strong position about how the US president is prosecuting his war. And it comes back to not only a lack of a plan, lack of clarity on what the end game might be for Iran, but also I think the lack of a legal base initially. That was very important for many Europeans, particularly Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, who is an international human rights lawyer, of course, by background. And you know, you've got to say, I think the longer although the Europeans have been caught on the hop and they've been trying to catch up in some ways over the weekend, at least in defending their interests and their nationals in the region, such as the UK, that is what the UK is trying to do, defend its allies in the Gulf and its interests in the region. But the longer this goes on, actually, the position that the reticence to get drawn into this, shown by Keir Starmer and other European leaders, looks more and more sensible and understandable the more this conflict escalates, seemingly without any real control coming from the White House.
Nicholas Opton, thank you very much. That is the former UK ambassador to Iran and non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, Nicholas Opton.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.